For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In Ecuador, they attempted to serve me an actual chicken foot. It was in my soup, so I was eating the soup.
Monkey and rabbit,
the foot was in my soup. It's a delicacy there. So I was staring at the foot.
Lions and tigers watching me.
You're sitting down for lunch, and they bring out a bowl with a chicken foot in it. When you go to other countries, you don't want to insult traditions. I cannot eat a chicken foot, I'm sorry. However, I did eat the rest of the soup, and then offered the chicken foot to someone who was sitting next to me who was excited to eat it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I remember telling the story. I've told that story more than once, actually, because every now and then on Ask Amy Anything, people want to know what's the strangest thing you've ever eaten or the strangest thing you've ever seen in your food. Actually, I once had a staple in my food at a restaurant. That's another story. And of course, your random hair or whatever, which is disgusting. That's not new. But a staple in my fish tacos. I had that once at a restaurant. Yeah, that was the waitress and the restaurant were so mortified that they comped the entire meal. They were so embarrassed.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, that it was pretty bad. I actually did eat it and then was pulling it out of my mouth thinking, what is this? Thankfully, did not swallow it or bite down on it because it could chip a tooth, I would think, if you bit on it the wrong way. So that's probably the strangest thing I've ever had in my food is a staple. But the chicken foot in a bowl of soup, you might not think it's a big deal until you see a chicken foot without a chicken in your soup. And it's brought out in a bowl and you have to maintain a poker face, if you will. But it's jarring. It's jarring. That happened in Ecuador, my first trip to Ecuador. Thankfully, the leaders of my team, I was there to play soccer with little kids in the Andes Mountains, and we took school supplies, and we were able to teach them songs and share our faith with them, but a bazillion other things we did with them while we were there. They can school you in soccer at 3 and 4 years old. Anyway, that first trip was one of my introductions into international travel. It wasn't the first time, but it was the first time that I had been to an area which was third world country like. And I remember the two lessons I learned. Number one, be careful how you eat chicken in other countries. I ended up getting salmonella poisoning from eating undercooked chicken. Oh yeah, that was the worst. That was the sickest I've ever been. I traveled back with salmonella poisoning. It was awful. Talking about weight loss, in the span of 2 days, I lost 7 pounds. That's how bad it was. But the other thing is, and it's not that I didn't know this in terms of head knowledge, but to practice it, when you go to other countries very often, if they have you as a guest and they are feeding you, they're giving you the best of what they have. This has happened in many places, in Ecuador, in Cuba. I've been to multiple places in Africa, and they're offering you the best that they have to give as their guest. And so even if you can't eat it, because I could not gnaw on a chicken foot. I just couldn't gnaw on a chicken foot. You need to remain grateful and gracious and understand that that's a delicacy and cost money for them, or at least cost a chicken. And so I was able to give it to one of the Ecuadorians who was on our team, one of the young men who was always hungry, who was constantly badgering me to eat to eat my food. And he was really happy. But I learned, first and foremost, you stay grateful because they're giving you their best. And it probably cost them a lot. And I know in the United States and other parts of the Western culture, Western society, we have more than enough food, and I think we take it for granted. So even though it was a chicken foot, I said thank you. I was gracious. I smiled. And after I'd eaten everything around the chicken foot, so it was nothing but the chicken foot left in the bowl. Yeah, the chicken was not clucking anymore. I was able to give the chicken foot to a native Ecuadorian, a teenage boy who was eating everything in sight. So that was the best option. It was a win-win. But I'm not kidding. Even though I was prepared for it, knew it was coming, they did say this particular family group likes to serve chicken feet as a gift. It's jarring when you see the foot just in your bowl.
What was around it? So, like, what else was in there?
Pieces of chicken meat, potatoes, carrots. It was a bit of a stew.
Gotcha.
And the chicken foot was right there in the middle.
In there.
Yeah, it was just right there in the middle of the bowl.
How do you, like, attack that? Fork and knife? Like a drumstick kind of deal?
I think you pick it up and you gnaw on it.
Oh. I don't know.
I'm sure many people find it delicious. I just could not. Think about where those feet had been. But also, I just could not. It's very strange. It's chicken feet are not attractive. But then to see it without the chicken, mind you, the chicken was not there. It was just the chicken foot. You realize that's a chicken's foot. They chopped off its foot.
I'm just like imagining like gnawing on it or biting into it. I don't know if I could do it.
My favorite offbeat food, I would say. Have you ever eaten octopus?
Yeah.
Oh, so good. I love octopus. I don't know. Maybe it's not as offbeat as I think. I don't know how many people eat squid or calamari. Mm-hmm. It's not that different. Little chewier, little thicker, gummier.
I guess I've really only had it in like calamari form.
Oh, you've had octopus instead of calamari?
No, actually, maybe I guess I never had octopus.
Oh, so a calamari squid.
Right.
Yeah. Right. We eat that every year in my family as part of our Christmas dinner. And also we just enjoy it. It's yummy.
Oh, yeah.
But octopus it's a little bit different. It's good. Like I said, it's a little chewy, kind of gummy.
Calamari's a little chewy.
Oh, it is, but they're smaller.
Right.
The little tentacles. Do you eat the tentacles?
I do. I like the round pieces more.
I'm sure that you do, yes. I have friends who simply can't eat it because of what it looks like. Well, that's how I felt about the chicken foot.
I get it.
Oh, you goodness. So, you guys, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I don't specifically remember that particular piece of production, though, that we started the show with. I suppose that's an Isaac treasure.
That was mine.
You put that together?
I did.
In the last 2 years?
So that was actually one where I had pieced it, I'd made it, but I didn't like trim it. It needed work. And I actually was just found it in the last break and pieced it up. I was like, why not?
Nice. Back. Okay. I like it. I'm sorry. I thought it was older than that. Maybe because I haven't heard it in so long. The years tend to blend together.
Now it's ready.
Kyrie Irving swears that, he didn't swear anything. Kyrie Irving will tell you, no doubt, that there's no hard feelings about Boston. And that it's just simply the next team in the way. And that's true. But, this is personal. Come on. This is going to be personal. I cannot wait for this delicious twist to the NBA Finals. And whatever other impressions you have of the Finals, we've got a week to talk about it. It's not quite the 2 weeks in between Championship Sunday and the Super Bowl, which make my eyes roll back in my head for 2 weeks of discussing the Super Bowl from every angle. After a while, I just can't listen. I'd rather watch Mr. Rogers. But when it comes to the NBA Finals, this is my first perception. Yes. Yes. Kyrie Irving versus Boston. Let's get it. So who is public enemy number one for you? Whether it's your favorite team, whether it's your city that has public enemy number one. It's interesting because I saw two posts from Commanders fans on Facebook. One indicated that Dak Prescott is public enemy number one, which would be more recency bias. That obviously doesn't go back very far. Another one said, you know who our public enemy is or our top villain is. I know this is an assumption, but I'm thinking it might be Dan Snyder.
I saw that, and that's where my first reaction went.
No longer the owner of the Commanders, but wreaked plenty of havoc before they essentially forced him out. So who is public enemy number one for your favorite team or your fan base? And producer Jay is retweeting them from our show account at Amy After Hours. Just look for Anakin Skywalker. It's fantastic. And then also on our Facebook page, there's a thread there as well. This comes from a Dallas Cowboys fan. It will always be the referees. Hashtag Dez caught it. He didn't, though. Let's see. Another tweet from the Boston area. For Boston fans, by sport. Basketball, it's Kyrie Irving after leaving the Celtics. Baseball, Roger Clemens and Johnny Damon when they went to the Yankees. Also, A-Rod, Aaron bleeping Boone, and Bucky bleeping Dent, for those of you who know the references. Oh, I remember the Aaron Boone moment vividly. And then football, he says it's Eli Manning. So I wondered how many Patriots fans would point to Eli. I thought maybe a few might go Nick Foles, because that was a year in which the Patriots were also favored in the Super Bowl. But probably Eli and David Tyree, because that was the year that they were perfect.
And
the regular season. Only the Super Bowl stood in the way from, was it 20-0? 19-0?
19-0.
NFL keeps expanding on us, urban sprawl. Chase says Cincinnati public enemies, Ben Roethlisberger and Kimo von Olhoffen.
I'm sorry?
That's what he says. Kimo von Olhoffen.
I hate him.
Is this a sumo wrestler? How can I not place the reference?
I hate him so much, I just put them all out of my mind.
I can't place the reference. This is my fault. It's a Steeler, which makes sense. Is that the David Krumrie? I mean, no, that wouldn't be him. He played, let's see. He was selected by the Bengals. Oh, maybe he went from Bengals to Steelers? Oh! He's the guy who hurt Carson Palmer?
Maybe.
I'm trying to...
He did go from the Bengals to the Steelers.
All right, yes. And so I can remember vaguely that game, but I don't remember the details of it. I'd have to go back and watch it. But I do know that many Bengals fans felt like the Steelers did it on purpose. That the Steelers
Did hurt Palmer. I'm looking it up right, yeah.
Took out Carson Palmer. Okay, so that was when Palmer tore his ACL one of the times.
2005, wild card playoff game.
Oh, heavens. I'm going to have to go back and watch the highlight, but I do remember seeing it, Carson Palmer get hurt, but I was not in the business then, so I didn't watch it for work, so sometimes those references get lost.
That makes sense now, though. It's a good one.
Kimo von Olhoffen. Thank you, Chase. Chase finding us on behalf of Cincinnati. Dan on Twitter, Devils fan for a Devils fan. This is New Jersey Devils. It's Mark Messier, Mike Richter. For a Knicks fan, although he says Kicks fan, which is kind of funny. Yes, for a Kicks fan. It was Michael Jordan who kicked you around. He goes with number 23. Mets fan, Chipper Jones, former Brave. Honorable mention to Pat Burrell. And then Steelers fan, Ray Lewis. That's interesting. So a Steelers fan going Ray Lewis, Baltimore. All right. I like that they're unique and that they're not ones that I would have picked. So those are good answers. Thank you for being so thorough. And we'll get to your responses on Facebook as well. 855-212-4227. Before we get to Alan in Toronto, guess who resurfaced on Thursday? He's about to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But before that, he was inducted into his own franchise's Hall of Fame. I still miss him on the football field. Alan is in Toronto. Alan, who's public enemy number one for Toronto? Alan.
Yes, hi, Amy.
Hi. Who's public enemy number one for Toronto?
Yes, Dan Snyder, owner of the Knicks and the Rangers. He's owned Madison Square Garden since
That's James Dolan. James Dolan.
Oh, yeah, James Dolan, yeah. A slip of the tongue. His father, Charles, owned HBO and Cablevision.
Hmm.
And he says the stress of the fans gets to him. He says he doesn't really like being the owner of the Rangers, both of them, he says. And whenever there's a chant of sell the team, he gets furious. He's infuriated, you know. He's when it finds his ears, he looks for the fans, and he bars them for life. And then, of course, the Charles Oakley incident, that's still fresh in my mind.
Right.
He's certainly not beloved in by the Garden faithful. And two words which nobody in the entire universe can argue with me or disagree with me, no class. The man has absolutely no class whatsoever. The Knicks have made the playoffs for the past 3 years, but before that, they were the butt of many jokes. They were a laughingstock. So that's another thing why he was public enemy number one, too, because of mismanagement. He had a lot to do with it, too. So,
I would say that James Dolan and our parent company are also public enemies. In fact, he's made it very public. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not going to tell you who it has to do with, but there is a host who works in the same building as we do, first for our New York affiliate, who's now here on the network, who had a public feud with Dolan. And because of that, the Knicks and Rangers will not allow any of us who work for the company to have press credentials. For the first time in my 25-year career, I was denied a press credential for an event. That has never happened in my whole life. Just wanted to go to a regular season hockey game last year and was denied a credential. Again, that's never happened in my entire career, but that's the kind of power that James Dolan has, and he carries a grudge.
And Dan Snyder, too. He was forced to sell the Commanders, and he was fined $60 million for sexual harassment and financial improprieties. But it's mostly for the lack of success that he's public enemy number one, because they've had two playoff appearances since 1999.
Yes.
And they gave up the Redskin name after 87 years. They were called the football team for 2 years. So it's more what happened on the field than off the field, you know, although the sexual harassment incidents, they forced them to sell, too. So he's both of them, Snyder and Dolan, are both public enemy number one. I never could figure out which one was worse.
All right, Alan, I appreciate your phone call. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Amy. Thank you.
Have a great weekend. 855-212-4227. We'll get back to that. Also, not sure if you heard, this is an interesting concept. There are two players in the WNBA who are going to start their own league. It won't run at the same time as the WNBA, but will provide another women's pro basketball option. And I think it's timely, of course, capitalizing on what is the popularity of the league. But it is something that I've heard Breonna Stewart talk about before. She's one of the founders of this league that will start in January. And we'll let you hear from her. She was making the rounds on Thursday. Good Morning America is where I caught her. Anyway, that plus Christie Sides, she's defending her fever. And Caitlin Clark is defending her coach. It's hard when you lose one out of nine games. It's really difficult. And then we'll take more of your responses. Who's public enemy number one for your team, for your city, for your fan base, in light of the Boston Celtics fans preparing something special for the Kyrie reunion? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page, on Twitter at Amy After Hours. Thanks for joining us. Good morning to you. If it's already your Friday, eek, here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Nuggets left to right, top of the circle.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
To shoot against Towns, 5, will shoot over Towns for 3. Banked it in! Of course he did! Because it's been that kind of night!
The bank is open 24 hours in Minnesota. He does the Michael Jordan shrug as he runs back the other way.
It's a good feeling, man. I can't lie. Just go out there. And, you know, it's us against them. Just stay together. But that feeling is great.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Luka Doncic, killer instinct on display in Game 5 Thursday night as the Mavericks get back to the NBA Finals for the first time in 13 years. Completely different crew. And even though Kyrie has been to an NBA Finals, that was with Cleveland Cavaliers. He was so young in his career. Now, of course, he's four teams later. Okay, three teams later. Boston, Brooklyn, Dallas. If he had his way, he would be in L.A., but he's back into the finals. He's found a home in Dallas. Don't know if it's permanent or if it's just temporary, but winning cures a lot of ills. And he and Luka, they definitely have found something together. And for Jason Kidd, who was on the team the last time the Mavericks were in the finals and they won that championship against the Miami Heat, and it was Dwayne Wade. Was Shaq on that team? No.
That was LeBron and Wade and Bosh.
Was it? Was that still the big three?
That was the first year of that team.
Oh, got it. Okay. All right. I was thinking that it was before them, before the big three got together in Miami.
That was the first year of that
team.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. So Jason Kidd, he was there. They won. And yeah, he likes what he sees with his two stars.
It's a beautiful combination. Those two play off of each other, and you can see that they care about one another. They're in competition right now with who's playing the best defense, and that's kind of cool to see, because when you look at Kai and Luka, a lot of times they're not known for our defensive, guys, but they're competing, and it's fun to see internally, and it's a healthy thing.
We're getting our Mavericks Heat championships straight here behind the scenes. 2011, Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Kidd.
They beat the big three of the Heat.
That was LeBron, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade. The
right.
Two of their, they had two titles. They played San Antonio then the following year. Right? Because because they beat the Spurs 1 year and then lost to the Spurs the following year.
Think so.
I'll have to go back and look. It feels like a long time
ago. 12 years ago now, 13 years ago.
But you were referring also to the 06 finals.
Right. We just mentioned Shaq was on the 06 Heat that beat the Mavericks in 06.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure exactly of the dates. Like I said, they all blend together. That's what the internet is for. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Chuck Cooperstein on Mavericks Radio. Fozzie is listening in Fort Worth. What do you think?
Oh, I'm asking you, what do you think, Amy? last time I called you, I asked you before the series of the Timberwolves, and I asked you, who do you think was going to win? And he played Sweden, and you
always
were at them.
Always.
And
but it's actually Switzerland. It's Switzerland that's neutral.
Yeah, well, all right, either way, you were saying, hey, the Timberwolves might win, the Mavericks might win.
Of course.
Now, I'm asking your thoughts, who do you think is going to have the finals this year?
Yeah, see, I don't do predictions because they're just guesses. The thing is, like, Shaquille O'Neal, he just went on the Inside the NBA on TNT right after the game and said the Celtics don't have three or four guys who can guard Luka. I'm going Mavericks. All right, he's just guessing. He has no idea. The same thing that people would have said about the Nuggets and the Timberwolves, right? The Mavericks are a 5 seed, so they really don't have a whole lot of business being here. People weren't picking them. In fact, gosh, Charles Barkley predicted that the Timberwolves would force a game 6 back to Dallas. So even the guys who played the game are just guessing. I think that's a waste of time. So I'll listen to what you have to say. And I can tell you, I think the Celtics are, this is on paper, of course, are deeper. They have more experience. I do think that they've got all the tools to guard Luka. Luka's a superstar player, but they've got multiple defenders that will match up with him and body him. And even if it's not the same guy the entire series, they'll send different guys at him who can play physical on him and try to get him frustrated. So I do think they have the right formula, but I don't know whoever knows who's going to win a series.
All right, so let me remind you, whenever the Mavericks won the championship in 2011, mm-hmm. we were the 4 seed, and then we played the Trailblazers. Everybody thought we were going to lose that series. We beat them. Then we swept the Lakers, and then we beat OKC, and then we won the championship against the Miami Heat, the big three, as you were saying.
Yep.
So every time we're the underdog, we always overachieve.
Gotcha. So you're saying that's the formula.
100%. It's almost serendipity. You know, it's a matter of time, right? So everything feels right. All the cards are lining up for us, right? My second point is that, the Boston Celtics do have a good team, but our bench, in my opinion, is way deeper than their benches. Right. All they have is Pritchard, and if Porzingis plays, that's going to help them out. But mm-hmm. I think that we can hold them down with Lively and Gafford, and now that Kleber is back in effect, I think we have a very good chance of winning this series.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're playing great basketball. They've got good momentum, obviously a ton of confidence, two incredible superstars. And as you point out, they also do have guys who either can come off the bench or who can contribute. I love what we've seen from PJ Washington in this postseason. Derek Lively back on the court again. He rarely misses, though I'd like to see him get a few more opportunities with the ball in his hand. I love the alley-oop, the athletic, aggressive approach that they take. Celtics do the same thing, though. The Celtics will force the issue. They can hurt you a variety of ways. They shoot the three like nobody's business. And when they're on, they're really tough to beat there. So as much as you could point to the bench, of course, as much as you could try to find flaws, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Derek White contributes nearly 18 points per game in this postseason alone. Drew Holiday's already won a title, and he's running the show. Should see Kristaps Porzingis back. Al Horford's been playing extremely well. He's tenacious. So they're deeper maybe than some people think.
Yeah, for sure. I would tell you that the one flaw that Boston does have that's going to be good against us is that everybody can shoot the three. This whole playoff set, we've been able to guard a little bit of the three mm-hmm. and guard the whole. So we played Zubac. We played everybody. We played big men, Rudy Gobert, Chet Holmgren, people that can't shoot the three, and we've been guarding the paint. So I will tell you that the fact that Boston can't shoot the three is going to be something that we have to change up for this whole playoff that we haven't done this year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. And I'm sorry, I'm all excited about Kyrie back in Boston too. Goofy stuff.
Oh yeah, Boston's been cheering for Kyrie. They better hope what they're asking for is not what they really want. I'm telling you, I've been seeing the social media. They said, "Forget Kyrie," in a lack of a better words. you know.
Yes.
So I'm excited. I've been excited for the series all year.
Mm. All right. Thanks. Be careful what you wish for. Thank you, Fozzie. Enjoy your weekend.
Yes, ma'am.
855-212-4227. That's the thing, is I'll start talking about a particular matchup and I can talk myself into either way. I can see it going a variety of ways, but you work in sports for this long. And I'll just say this, if you always knew how it was going to play out, you'd never watch. That's the fun of sports. That's why we watch, is because it very rarely goes exactly as you think. And just the Mavericks being in the NBA Finals alone is a bit of an upset. Now, they're not as large an underdog, quote unquote, as they were when they started these playoffs. Considering the confidence that they've built, the way they're playing right now is incredible. I do think they need more from, I'll just use the term, I don't love this term, but you'll understand what I mean, the supporting cast around Kyrie and Luka than what they got on Thursday night in terms of scoring. They need a more balanced attack than that. And we have seen it from them. They've got a lot of bodies they can run out there, but can they provide more offense? In fact, their own coach has said the same thing through the course of these playoffs, different places. Jason has said, we need more scoring. We need more offense. We need more options than just Kyrie and Luka. Now, because Luka started out the way he did, he had already put the Wolves in a hole by himself. And then after his 20 points in the first quarter, then you've got Kyrie, who's hitting crazy shots. Gosh, his bank shots sometimes, they're nutso. So it's amazing to see the 1-2 punch there and the tenacity. And Luka calls Kyrie old, so maybe there's more experience there. But yeah, the fact that they can get contributions from other guys means, at least to me, that we're not looking at a sweep. We're not looking at a lopsided affair. And now, even though I have nothing to do with Vegas, now the odds makers are saying that this is a lot tighter than what it was or what it would have been when the playoffs began. I think because they're playing so well and because they're confident, they'll be able to bring everything they've got to Boston. And they're not afraid of a raucous crowd either. That doesn't faze Luka. I'd said this earlier in the series. Luka's been playing pro basketball on international stages since he was 13 years old. He was 13. He turned pro at 13 years old. And while he wasn't in the NBA that whole time, he was playing international ball. He was representing his country. He's been on these stages. He's had a ton of pressure on him since the very beginning. He's used to it. It doesn't faze him. He doesn't get rattled. I'm pretty sure he was talking to Snoop Dogg when Snoop was on the sidelines in Minneapolis. All right, who is public enemy number one? I like what that last caller had to say. He's been looking at social. Take it with a grain of salt. And Boston Celtics fans are asking for Kyrie. They want Kyrie to face them in the NBA Finals. So be careful what you wish for, because he is still a very talented offensive player. Very. Who are the public enemies for your favorite team or your city, your fan base? On Twitter, at Amy After Hours, or Twix, as we call it. The Hubs likes Twix. I mean, Twix, the nickname for the social media site, not Twix the candy bar. Though, I think he likes those
too. Probably likes those too.
Yeah. How can you not?
Well, I heard you say it earlier in the show, just kind of like rolling off. And I like
casually.
It. It sounded good. I was like, oh, Twix,
good. I'm trying to incorporate it into the conversation. Twitter is too, it's convoluted when you're trying to work it into a sentence, and it's two syllables. Twix is so much easier.
It's nice. It's compact.
Yeah, it's like a celebrity marriage. Twix.
Just like that.
So we're taking your responses, and we're getting some good ones. Public enemy number one on either Twix or Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Ten from the 11. Breeze under center, looks to throw over the middle, has Mike Thomas across the goal line. Touchdown! Mike Thomas finds a hole in the zone, settles, and does the rest of the work, and the Saints take a 6-0 lead with 5:09 to play here in the first quarter.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Wow, that's a blast from the past. Drew Brees retired after the 2020 season and just returned to New Orleans again to be inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. So the Pro Football Hall of Fame, well, that's on the horizon, of course, but he's got to wait the 5 years before he can be on the ballot. This specific to the Crescent City.
This is a tremendous honor. It's always great to be back in this building. Obviously, we're no strangers to New Orleans or to the Saints facility here. I feel like we're back here about 8 to 10 times a year. And in fact, if you're wondering why my boys' heads are wet right now, it's because they were in the whirlpool, hot tub, cold tub, playing hoops with the guys in the locker room and running around on the field. So this is like a second home, and it always has been.
Mm. But don't ask Drew what he thought might happen when he went to New Orleans. It certainly wasn't that longevity. Obviously wanted to win a Super Bowl, but his relationship with the city of New Orleans and his tenure with the Saints, it exceeded expectations.
We hoped that we would be able to make an impact, not just on the field, but off the field. Never in our wildest dreams could have imagined that it would be 15 years and that we'd raise a family here, and all four of our children would be born in New Orleans and consider themselves New Orleanians. And now all of a sudden I have a son who's talking about wanting to go to LSU. So go Tigers.
He does have regrets, though. Of course, every athlete has regrets. And he didn't necessarily walk away at the point at which he wanted to.
There was a little bit of a lack of closure, you know. And honestly, man, if my right arm was still working, I probably would have played another 3 years. My body feels great.
But not my arm. He goes on to say, my arm, I can't throw. How about that? A dead arm. He's been retired now for 4 years. And, well, 3 years, because it was after the 2020 season. So 3 years he's been retired, and his arm just doesn't work. It's the price you pay for being a Hall of Fame NFL QB, right? And boy, did he throw and throw and throw and throw and throw until Tom Brady eclipsed a lot of his records, most passing yards, most passing touchdowns. And the way that New Orleans celebrated him was incredible. I remember some of those nights as he was setting records, and it was awesome. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch ever as a broadcaster, but also as an NFL fan. And now people are comparing him again to Tom Brady, but not because of the football, but because Brady is heading into the broadcast booth as a number one announcer for Fox. That's actually what Drew wanted to do. Drew wanted to sit in a broadcast booth and call games as an analyst.
The thing that I wanted to do most, that I felt like I could bring the most value at, was broadcasting NFL games. And it was the thing I had the least opportunity to do, right? I was able to do a little bit of college at Notre Dame, just two NFL games broadcasting that were 8 weeks apart, and then the studio stuff, right? But man, I love the game, and I would love to broadcast NFL games, you know, at some point. I think I could be the best at it.
Oh, I have no doubt. I would love to hear how he breaks down a game. I've always thought he was a great interview. It was with NBC. They didn't really have a spot for him. They didn't do what Fox did, which is sign Brady up to be the number one, forget whoever else is in line, or what CBS did. I mean, CBS signed Tony Romo up to be number one analyst, didn't have any experience, they didn't care. And what Drew really wanted to do was talk about the game from the press box while it was taking place. NFL games, not college. And I can agree that would be the place where you would think his knowledge would be most utilized and most critical. And maybe another network will pick him up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're asking you, who's public enemy number one for your favorite team, your city, your fan base? Dan is listening in South Carolina. Dan, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
I figure that I drive a truck, so I'm on the road in Atlanta now. But I'm from New York originally, and I can't figure out why the Rangers still hate Top Fan. they still say he sucks even though he hasn't played in 30 years.
Oh, yes. It's the chant every time you go to a Rangers game. And actually, sometimes on the road, I've been at Devils games and I've heard Rangers fans start the Felix Potvin chant. Oh, Dennis Potvin. My fault.
Dennis.
Yes.
Yeah. I grew up an Islander fan, and for me, the Islanders, it was Gretzky because he ruined their streak with four consecutive cups. And as far as the Jets, you got Belichick, you know, coached for what a day and then went on to New England. But my brother would tell you, as a Dallas fan, that his enemy is Dak Prescott. This will never win the Super Bowl for him.
Never say never. He's still there. There's always a chance.
Yeah, but my brother, he's given up on Prescott. He's waiting for somebody else to come in.
Gotcha. Oh, man.
But I appreciate you letting me say those little things. And
absolutely.
I hope you have a great day.
We're glad to keep you company, Dan. Be safe. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Let's talk to Brock, who's in Georgia. Brock, who's public enemy number one for you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Amy.
Sure.
Jay. My all-time favorite is Reggie Miller, Indiana Pacers. I'm a Pacers fan, and I got to say, for the Pacers, it got to be Ron Artest going in the stands and then not coming back the next year, you know, and then going on to win a championship. And we was a lot to win when he went in the stands. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. And he's got – thank you, Brock, in Georgia. He's had a bunch of different names since then. But, yes, that Malice at the Palace, that whole mess – I mean, I don't know that that will ever have its equal. Let's hope it doesn't have its equal in sports history. But the way that impacted the franchise, the Pacers, they were up in that game, and it turned everything upside down, this brawl between the Pacers and the Pistons, and into the stands, and what a mess. Yeah, you kind of wonder, I guess, if you're a Pacers fan, you kind of feel like it changed the course of your franchise, really. I could still see the images and the fight play out in my head, the number of times I watched that. And gosh, that's going back now. What was the date? Let's see. The date was, I don't remember the exact date, but I'm going to look it up. There were 22,000 people in attendance. That I know. 2004. 20 years ago. 20 years ago.
Friday, November 19th, 2004.
I can still remember it. You know what else I can still remember vividly is Allen Iverson. We talking about practice. And that's been, what, 30 years? Gosh, am I old?
No, has it been that long?
I feel like it's closer to 30 than 20, but you'll have to look it up and let me know. Tom's in Baltimore. Tom, who's public enemy number one for you?
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
Good.
How the rabbits?
Oh, Mama moved them about a day and a half after we found them. I'm glad because I wanted them to be safe, but I do miss them. I'm hoping I'll see them hopping around in a couple weeks.
That's cool. Yeah, I got a bunch of them on my property, too. So Ravens-Steelers has got to be the best rivalry. I mean, Steelers are our arch enemy. They beat us when we have a better team. They still find a way to win.
So, and as you're narrowing it down, is there one particular athlete who reps that kind of enemy status?
Oh, got to be the tight end. Oh, what was his name? From Pittsburgh. Plaxico Burress, I'm going to say.
Well, he was the receiver, right? Plaxico?
The receiver. Yeah, Plaxico. But Orioles, Yankees, that's – do you know where the Orioles – actually, the Bridger Oriole team went to New York. The New York Yankees were the Baltimore Orioles. They bought them in like 1901.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I really love when the Yankees come in and we can give them, now that we're good again, I can mess with their fans now.
Going back to 1901, Tom.
Yeah, 1901, yep. Yep, Orioles, the Baltimore Orioles were bought by New York. They were the Highlanders, and then became the Yankees.
And you're going to hold that grudge?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
I like it. All right.
Well, I appreciate talking to you.
Yes, Tom. Good to talk to you, too. Have a good weekend. Save it for those Yankees. He vividly remembers 1901, and he's not letting that go. He's not going to let it go. Who is public enemy number one? Would you like to write a song about this particular team? The way that Darren Waller wrote a song about Kelsey Plum? I hope your song is more appealing to the ears. Who's public enemy number one for your team, your city, your fan base? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Or Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
First and 10 from the 11. Breeze under center, looks to throw over the middle, has Mike Thomas across the goal line. Touchdown! Mike Thomas finds a hole in the zone, settles, and does the rest of the work, and the Saints take a 6-0 lead with 5:09 to play here in the first quarter.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Wow, that's a blast from the past. Drew Brees retired after the 2020 season and just returned to New Orleans again to be inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. So the Pro Football Hall of Fame, well, that's on the horizon, of course, but he's got to wait the 5 years before he can be on the ballot. This specific to the Crescent City.
This is a tremendous honor. It's always great to be back in this building. Obviously, we're no strangers to New Orleans or to the Saints facility here. I feel like we're back here about 8 to 10 times a year. And in fact, if you're wondering why my boys' heads are wet right now, it's because they were in the whirlpool, hot tub, cold tub, playing hoops with the guys in the locker room and running around on the field. So this is like a second home, and it always has been.
Mm. But don't ask Drew what he thought might happen when he went to New Orleans. It certainly wasn't that longevity. Obviously wanted to win a Super Bowl, but his relationship with the city of New Orleans and his tenure with the Saints, it exceeded expectations.
We hoped that we would be able to make an impact, not just on the field, but off the field. Never in our wildest dreams could have imagined that it would be 15 years and that we'd raise a family here, and all four of our children would be born in New Orleans and consider themselves New Orleanians. And now all of a sudden I have a son who's talking about wanting to go to LSU. So go Tigers.
He does have regrets, though. Of course, every athlete has regrets. And he didn't necessarily walk away at the point at which he wanted to.
There was a little bit of a lack of closure, you know. And honestly, man, if my right arm was still working, I probably would have played another 3 years. My body feels great.
But not my arm. He goes on to say, my arm, I can't throw. How about that? A dead arm. He's been retired now for 4 years. And, well, 3 years, because it was after the 2020 season. So 3 years he's been retired, and his arm just doesn't work. It's the price you pay for being a Hall of Fame NFL QB, right? And boy, did he throw and throw and throw and throw and throw until Tom Brady eclipsed a lot of his records, most passing yards, most passing touchdowns. And the way that New Orleans celebrated him was incredible. I remember some of those nights as he was setting records, and it was awesome. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch ever as a broadcaster, but also as an NFL fan. And now people are comparing him again to Tom Brady, but not because of the football, but because Brady is heading into the broadcast booth as a number one announcer for Fox. That's actually what Drew wanted to do. Drew wanted to sit in a broadcast booth and call games as an analyst.
The thing that I wanted to do most, that I felt like I could bring the most value at, was broadcasting NFL games. And it was the thing I had the least opportunity to do, right? I was able to do a little bit of college at Notre Dame, just two NFL games broadcasting that were 8 weeks apart, and then the studio stuff, right? But man, I love the game, and I would love to broadcast NFL games, you know, at some point. I think I could be the best at it.
Oh, I have no doubt. I would love to hear how he breaks down a game. I've always thought he was a great interview. it was with NBC. They didn't really have a spot for him. They didn't do what Fox did, which is sign Brady up to be the number one, forget whoever else is in line, or what CBS did. I mean, CBS signed Tony Romo up to be number one analyst, didn't have any experience, they didn't care. And what Drew really wanted to do was talk about the game from the press box while it was taking place. NFL games, not college. And I can agree that would be the place where you would think his knowledge would be most utilized and most critical. And maybe another network will pick him up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're asking you, who's public enemy number one for your favorite team, your city, your fan base? Dan is listening in South Carolina. Dan, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
I figure that I drive a truck, so I'm on the road in Atlanta now. But I'm from New York originally, and I can't figure out why the Rangers still hate Todd Bowles. They still say he sucks, even though he hasn't played in 30 years.
Oh, yes. It's the chant every time you go to a Rangers game. And actually, sometimes on the road, I've been at Devils games, and I've heard Rangers fans start the Felix Potvin chant. Oh, Dennis Potvin. My fault.
Dennis.
Yes.
I grew up an Islander fan, and for me, the Islanders, it was Gretzky because he ruined their streak with four consecutive cups. And as far as the Jets, you got Belichick, you know, coached for what a day and then went on to New England. But my brother would tell you, as a Dallas fan, that his enemy is Dak Prescott. This will never win the Super Bowl for him.
Never say never. He's still there. There's always a chance.
Yeah, but my brother, he's given up on Prescott. He's waiting for somebody else to come in.
Gotcha. Oh, man.
But I appreciate you letting me say those little things. And
absolutely.
I hope you have a great day.
We're glad to keep you company, Dan. Be safe. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Let's talk to Brock, who's in Georgia. Brock, who's public enemy number one for you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Amy.
Sure.
Jay. My all-time favorite is Reggie Miller, Indiana Pacers. I'm a Pacers fan, and I got to say, for the Pacers, it got to be Ron Artest going in the stands and then not coming back the next year, you know, and then going on to win a championship. And we was a lot to win when he went in the stands. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. And he's got – thank you, Brock, in Georgia. He's had a bunch of different names since then. But, yes, that Malice at the Palace, that whole mess – I mean, I don't know that that will ever have its equal. Let's hope it doesn't have its equal in sports history. But the way that impacted the franchise, the Pacers, they were up in that game, and it turned everything upside down, this brawl between the Pacers and the Pistons, and into the stands, and what a mess. Yeah, you kind of wonder, I guess, if you're a Pacers fan, you kind of feel like it changed the course of your franchise, really. I could still see the images and the fight play out in my head the number of times I watched that. And gosh, that's going back now. What was the date? Let's see. The date was, I don't remember the exact date, but I'm going to look it up. There were 22,000 people in attendance. That I know. 2004. 20 years ago. 20 years ago.
Friday, November 19th, 2004.
I can still remember it. You know what else I can still remember vividly is Allen Iverson. We talking about practice. And that's been, what, 30 years? Gosh, am I old?
No, has it been that long?
I feel like it's closer to 30 than 20, but you'll have to look it up and let me know. Tom's in Baltimore. Tom, who's public enemy number one for you?
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
Good.
How the rabbits?
Oh, Mama moved them about a day and a half after we found them. I'm glad because I wanted them to be safe, but I do miss them. I'm hoping I'll see them hopping around in a couple weeks.
That's cool. Yeah, I got a bunch of them on my property, too. So Ravens-Steelers has got to be the best rivalry. I mean, Steelers are our arch enemy. They beat us when we have a better team. They still find a way to win.
So, and as you're narrowing it down, is there one particular athlete who reps that kind of enemy status?
Oh, gotta be
The tight end. Oh, what was his name? From Pittsburgh. Plaxico Burress, I'm going to say.
Well, he was the receiver, right? Plaxico?
He was receiver. Yeah, Plaxico. But Orioles, Yankees. That's. Do you know where the Orioles, actually, the original Orioles team went to? New York. The New York Yankees were the Baltimore Orioles. They bought them in like 1901.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I really love when the Yankees come in and we can give them, now that we're good again, I can mess with their fans now.
Going back to 1901, Tom.
Yeah, 1901, yep. Yep, Orioles, the Baltimore Orioles were bought by New York. They were the Highlanders, and then became the Yankees.
And you're going to hold that grudge?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
I like it. All right.
Well, hey, I appreciate talking to you.
Yes, Tom. Good to talk to you, too. Have a good weekend. Save it for those Yankees. He vividly remembers 1901, and he's not letting that go. He's not going to let it go. Who is public enemy number one? Would you like to write a song about this particular team? The way that Darren Waller wrote a song about Kelsey Plum? I hope your song is more appealing to the ears. Who's public enemy number one for your team, your city, your fan base? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.